This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, it's peppy today. Oh, it's big time today. What a win from the Knicks. What a win. May the 4th. I hope we're not going to be that show that all shows May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I hope we're better than that, but I'm not sure yet. We've got Rothenberg. We've got Canty. We've got DiPietro. It is 5 o'clock in the morning. We have a ton to get into. Mike Tenenbaum with a little draft recap at 7:35. Our version, our watered-down version of CMT at 6:45. Let's say good morning on this rainy Tuesday to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. It sounds like you were taking a shot at our very own Alan Hahn, and I won't stand for 98.7 on 98.7 crime. I'm not going to do that.
I was not. I just.
Everybody
that,
knows that. He says May the 4th be with you. That's his thing.
Saying it is fine, but being like a consistent theme throughout the show, I think is, I don't know, I think we're better than that. It wasn't meant to be a shot at Hahn. If it were, I would let you know.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm doing well.
Good.
Another night, another Knicks win.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ho-hum. Rick, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great, Dave. I'm doing fantastic. I mean, we got some show business to handle at some point.
What's the matter?
Reading some of these tweets yesterday. I mean, I don't know what the communication, what happened with us. I mean, I thought we were in love. I thought we were, you know, radio husband and wife. And I need Twitter to tell me that there's a new Dave Rothenberg podcast coming up.
There is. That is accurate.
That would have been some nice information to share with the group, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not going to defend the fact that I hadn't told you. I think that's fair. But why? I mean, why is that something that you absolutely had to be in the know about?
Well, because it's big. I mean, you have a podcast. I mean, you probably use this show to let people know that you have a podcast.
Well, I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to step on anyone's toes on this show and mention it. But if you are going to bring it up, absolutely, it can be promoted. Now, it's not only a podcast. If you're asking, it's a podcast. And a full YouTube channel as well, in conjunction with a big production company.
Wow. I wish I had friends that paid for me to have shows. That'd be great. Get my own hockey show, my own YouTube channel.
Why can't you ever be happy for someone else? Why do you always have to revert to how does it affect positively or negatively me?
Well, because I want your full attention on this show. I mean, this is the most important show.
Do you think that you're not going to get my full attention on this show? You don't think I can do a weekly 35-minute podcast without giving you guys more than my full attention? That is very unfair.
Well, no, listen, sometimes, I mean, when things aren't, you know, talked about as a unit, right? Like, we don't have a show meeting, you don't let us know, and then all of a sudden I see a tweet, Dave's got his own podcast, is this the first step in Dave leaving the show? I get a little concerned.
Okay,
I mean,
and
Chris
when that was thrown out there, because I did receive that tweet in response, oh my God, are you leaving the show? What do you remember what I responded to that person?
I think it was, of course not, was the response.
So at that point. If there was the 90 seconds of, oh God, and you don't think I would have told you if I was leaving the show to do a podcast for 30 minutes a week? You think with everything that Michael does and Don does and Peter does on the side, they tell them exactly what they're doing? No, of course not.
No, I think I disagree with that. I think Michael knows when Don's going to go do. I mean, Don announced he was going to have his own channel.
Yeah, but I didn't want to usurp time on our show by discussing the podcast. But now that you're bringing it up and obviously very, very bothered by the fact for some reason, of course I'll make mention of it.
All I want is your full attention. That's it. I want your full focus on this show. And all of a sudden you're branching off. What happens if this YouTube channel becomes like this big hit? And now you got YouTube. You'll start doing TikTok videos.
Well, then who can tell? But Vinny Jones puts in a good tweet. He says, and this is exactly the reason you don't tell, Rick. Hater.
I'm not hating. I'm happy for you. I would like to hear from you. I mean, that would be nice. Like, hey, guys, I got some exciting news. I got my own I got my own YouTube channel, doing a podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, now you know. I apologize.
Next thing you know, you'll be hosting KJZ. You'll leave us.
Chris, are you equally offended? Because that was not my intent to offend anybody here.
No, not at all, Dave. Okay, not even remotely concerned that you're leaving the show.
I'm not leaving the show. It was never even a thought to leave the show.
Yeah, and it's okay that you didn't bring it up to us and that we weren't the first to find out about it. It's okay that we found out on social media. It's not
for
a problem
me,
at all.
For me?
It's not a problem.
Rothenberg
Untucked. It's not a problem for me, Dave.
I don't know. It feels like you guys both feel about it. If there's really hurt feelings, I apologize. And if you're playing, then I appreciate it. All right. Can we please get to the Knicks? Can we? I mean, my God. The Knicks go out there. They put up a huge, huge lead. It gets a little dicey in the fourth quarter. But I got to tell you, even when it was cut to 5 points with 4 or 5 minutes left, I was like, you know, they're going to find a way. Like, I've done a 180 on this team. I wasn't even all that concerned. In the past, I'd be like, they're going to lose. They stink. It's going to fall apart. Nope, not last night. I always believed they were going to win. And in the end, Derrick Rose, Randall, find a way. And the Knicks with another victory, a game that they were underdog, and a lot of people did not think they were going to find a way to win.
No, I mean, that was one of the concerns, right? I mean, that's what we saw earlier on in the season. And you've seen the improvement with this team. Was in, you know, in games where all of a sudden it got dicey or close games, the Knicks, they were finding ways to lose as opposed to ways to win. Like, they weren't closing out those games. And you got to give them credit, man, from where they started to where they're at. We talked about the three-point shooting, and again, first half. I mean, what they did from three, they hit 11 threes in the first half. Defense, as usual, is good. John Morant, I mean, he gets himself kicked out of the game because he's so frustrated. He was brutal. But, I mean, Derrick Rose has been great for them.
He's better this time out than he was last time with the Knicks.
Let's not even talk about the last time he's with the Knicks. That's when he went AWOL and everything else. Like, let's focus on what's happening right now, his relationship with Tibbs. But you're right. I mean, that game gets a little bit dicey, but I felt the same way you felt. Like, they're going to find a way. Someone will step up. Derrick Rose will step up. Julius Randle will step up and find a way to win the game, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Derrick Rose in the last 4 minutes scored 6 points, and Julius Randle hit a big three-pointer with about 4 minutes to go to kind of give them a little bit of breathing room. But, I mean, they took control of the game when they absolutely had to, and that's been the thing about this Knicks team. When they need one of their stars to step up, you're always getting that performance. It's Julius Randle, and it's somebody else. Of late, it's been Derrick Rose. And we're talking about another 20-plus performance with him coming off the bench. So it's impressive to see what he's been able to do this time around with the New York Knicks and coming off of COVID. You know, it took him a couple of games to kind of right himself and to get back to the Derrick Rose that we saw prior to that. But, I mean, I can't overstate how important he is to this team right now and how important he's going to be going down the stretch, because they're going to need somebody other than Julius Randle to be capable of helping them close out games. And last night he showed you what he's capable of. On a night where Julius Randle didn't have his best stuff, Derrick Rose stepped up in a really big way. So it's really impressive to see this Knicks team on the second night of a back-to-back going up against a playoff-caliber team, frustrate the Memphis Grizzlies to the point where their head coach gets tossed and their star point guard gets tossed. We say it all the time, this Knicks team is tough to play against, but now you're seeing evidence of that, seeing how they frustrated the Grizzlies because of their consistent effort and their being fundamentally sound on the defensive end. So tip of the cap to Tibbs and the rest of this Knicks team, man. Like, it's no longer at the point where you're wondering when the other shoe is going to drop. At this point, we're just accepting that this is a really good basketball team, and they're going to have a chance to win every single night.
It's amazing that they do this. It really is. Because we looked at this road trip before the season, or early stages, and like, even if the Knicks are good, it could fall apart there because these are teams that are better. But they're not. The Knicks have shown you they're better than Memphis. You know, beating Houston is not all that impressive at this point, but you did it the way you needed to do it. You did it so handily that you didn't have to play guys 40, 42 minutes, and the next night you had some fresh bodies, and you go out there and you hammer Memphis. I mean, you shot well again. Alec Burks comes back into the lineup. I mean, things are happening. And, you know, I don't know what LeBron's situation is going to be when the Knicks play the Lakers. And, yeah, the other games are certainly daunting, but you know what? They're going to compete. I know that. And right now, I'm all locked in on the fourth seed. I'm not thinking five. I'm not thinking six. I'm not thinking about a play-in tournament. I don't have to have LeBron James get angry that that's going to happen. I'm thinking Knicks is the fourth seed, and I'm thrilled about it. I can't believe that we're here.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, when we're sitting here looking at the second half of the season, and we, you know, kept going back to, you know, what would happen on this West Coast trip, this New York Knicks team now wasn't the same New York Knicks team we saw in the first half of the season. It wasn't.
Not even close. But if I would have said to you 2 weeks ago, this road trip, you'd have said, I'm terrified of this thing. This thing could go sideways. And, I mean, look, they could still go 2-3, But I don't know. I put money on that they're going to win another game on this trip. They're just playing at that level right now.
They've won 12 of their last 13. And when they shoot the way that they've been able to shoot, I mean, you're talking about a team who, I mean, from three, R.J. Barrett was terrible. Julius Randle has in his career been, he's been brutal from three. You're talking about a team that's worked their way up to, they're fourth in the NBA right now from three. Their three-point percentage is fourth overall in the NBA. And when you take that and you mix it with the kind of defense that they play, and you saw them frustrate the hell out of John Morant yesterday. Frustrate the hell out of him because they play tough, they play physical. Alfred Payton was in his pocket. I mean, this is, they're turning themselves into a good team. This isn't just like, oh, they all of a sudden caught lightning in a bottle, and this is just, you know, this crazy run that they're on. No, I mean, they've turned themselves into a really good basketball team. Where guys have stepped up. I mean, they talk about Derrick Rose. It's good to get Alec Burks back.
Yep.
You saw, I mean, they scored 44 points in the second quarter. I mean, you got Burks, you got Rose, you got
Gibson
quickly.
Last night, by the way.
I know, it's foul trouble.
Outstanding, Dave. Outstanding.
I mean, what? And then he gets into trouble, and then they bring in a guy that 2 weeks ago you never heard of in your life, Norvell Peel? Or Pell or whatever
Pell.
His name
Pell,
yeah.
is?
Yeah, it's Pell.
Pell? I mean, what? Mm-hmm. What a job. I mean, this is without your starting center. This is without your backup center. So now you're on the road with your third string center, and you give that third and a guy that you signed 10 days ago? I mean, come on. How do we not discuss Tom Thibodeau as coach of the year right now?
No, oh, he's in the conversation. Right, yeah, we've been talking about it all the time. He's in the conversation. I just think the other teams, the other coaches that are under consideration because they have the record that they do will probably get the nod. I mean, you look at what Utah has done with Quinn Snyder and then Monty Williams in Phoenix. You'll probably point to one of those coaches because they're at the top of the Western Conference, and we all admit that's the more competitive conference. But, I mean, the turnaround that the Knicks have been able to pull off in year one of Tibbs' tenure, I mean, it's – Dave, we said it coming into the year. The over-under in Vegas in terms of win total was 22.5, and this Knicks team has 37 wins with 7 games to go, secured their first winning season since 2012-2013. Like, this is something that's really special. But, you know, it comes back to something that Rick and I talk about all the time, which is the most important thing that has to happen when you're trying to get a program turned around is changing the culture. More so than talent or anything else that you do, you have to get the players to buy into the program that you're trying to build. And it's clear that the guys in that Knicks locker room have bought into what Tibbs is selling. And we all know that Tibbs is a basketball lifer. He knows how to coach this game. Like, they have a plan on how this team can be successful. They've got a formula, and we're starting to see them fine-tune that formula in the second half of the season. And it's getting to the point now, when you get into these close games, where Knicks fans have all the confidence in the world that they're going to find a way to make enough plays to be able to pull off a win.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team, and you don't, I mean, very rarely do you see this. And, you know, Chris brings up a good point. When your team isn't overly talented, how important it is to have a coach like Thibs. And to create the kind of culture that Thibs has created here that's all based upon, you know, their defense and hard work. Because defense doesn't go into slumps.
No.
Like, defense will show up and give you a chance. Well, yeah, because, I mean, to start the game off, I mean, offensively, they were bad to start the game off.
Awful.
They were awful. But, I mean, again, you look at what they've done defensively. I mean, they lead the NBA right now in field goal percentage. They lead the NBA in three-point percentage. And now, like I just mentioned, they're fourth in three-point percentage for themselves. I mean, that's a pretty damn good mix. And it seems like the further along in the season we're getting, like, I mean, how many times have we sat here when they would lose games? Like, they have no answer for this trap. All this team is doing is trapping. There's no answer. It seems like now all of a sudden they have answers for all this.
Every single night. So here's their remaining schedule. At Denver, at Phoenix, two daunting games. At the Clippers, listen, you look at it, you say it's daunting, but I don't know what the Clippers are going to be, who they're going to play in that game. Is Kawhi going to play? Is Paul George going to play? At the Lakers, same thing with that. And then you're home for three games, San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. So I got to think, I mean, if you go 3-4 over the final seven, or I mean, if you go 4-3, it's hard to imagine they're not going to get the 4 seed right now. And why would you look at this and say they can't go 4-3 over the final 7 games?
Listen, Dave, I think it's possible. I mean, the thing that I've been looking at is making sure that the Knicks are, you know, 4 of the 5 seed, and they're 1 game in front of Atlanta now, but they're 2 games clear of Boston. I mean, 3 games clear of Boston and 2 games clear of Miami. So, I mean, they're in a pretty good spot right now with 7 games to go. Like, I feel like they have a chance to be in a first-round series where they have a matchup that we would look at and say, yeah, I would expect the Knicks to compete in that series. It goes 7 games, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks come out on the winning end of that series. Like, that's where we're at right now. Like, that's how I feel. As long as they don't have to play the Miami Heat, yeah, I would feel good about the Knicks being in a real playoff series against the Hawks or against the Boston Celtics. Like, I wouldn't be afraid of those teams just because of how this Knicks team plays. They're always going to be consistent in terms of the effort that they give and how they play on the defensive end. And with the way that they're knocking down their perimeter shots and they're shooting from three, there's no reason why the Knicks can't find themselves in the second round of the playoffs. It's crazy to hear myself say that, but I think that's where we're at with this team right now. I really do.
I can't believe it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Santiago's a bad guy. He's trying to throw fuel on the fire that you guys didn't know about the podcast. First his tweet, now this song. He says, clearly there is treachery afoot. At H.
Oh, the deception. The betrayal, man. You deceived me.
Bad guy. At H. Dumpty 39 is right to be upset. Why are you trying to do this, Santiago?
I'm not trying to do anything. You were clearly hiding things here.
Hiding anything. Anything?
I didn't know anything about this until Rick brought it up on air.
No, I didn't
then
either.
I see
what
these
do you mean
tweets?
You didn't know until you brought it up on air? How'd you bring it up on air then?
Well, no, I brought it up in the air. I mean, the fact is that Santi didn't know. RJ didn't know. The only reason I know is because somebody tweeted at me. Like, Canty and I would have never known until all of a sudden we're flipping through Twitter and we see, oh, Dave's new Untucked podcast.
All of a sudden we've got this whole Dave Rothenberg podcast network and it's like, hey, well, when are you going to tell us about
podcast
this?
Podcast network? Well, it's not a network. Now, I would like
Rothenberg
to.
Untucked. As if you, like, oh, do you normally tuck your shirts in and then, like, that's the sign that you're gonna
really
let
loose? I mean, on the podcast, we're going to really let loose here. That's what we're saying. Now, I would like to, before anybody gets offended or anything like that, and I'm sure you'll say no, Rick, because that's just the kind of guy you are, I'd like to have each of you separately on the podcast at some point in the coming weeks.
I'm good.
Wow.
Why? And why would you not join the show? Why?
Because I wasn't made a part of the whole process. I wasn't brought in and said, hey, Rick, you know what, I'm thinking about doing this podcast. I mean, the least you could have done, I mean, you get this whole, like, you're the new Colin Coward, you get your own podcast network. Like, maybe give Canty and I a show on the podcast network.
First of all, there's no podcast network. Second of all, would you like to do it? There's no way that you want to do a podcast.
Me and Canty could do it. We call it the champs. Me, Super Bowl champ. I got the hockey titles.
And men's league.
Men's league baseball titles.
Every time I mention anything, I actually mentioned to you months ago, I said, this guy who's running the podcast for me in the YouTube video channel for Aminu Muhammad, baby. I said to you, he wants to do like a podcast with your mom and your aunt. Do you remember that? And you were like, eh. And you just flippantly like pushed it to the side. Do you remember that?
That doesn't seem less appealing to you? Hey, you want to do a podcast with your mom and your aunt?
No,
no, not really.
You remember when you were talking about them, how entertaining and terrific they are? And he heard that. He's like, you know, we should do that. I threw it your way, and you could not have been less interested.
No, see, I didn't say this should be a podcast. I said my mother, my grandmother, in my aunt in the same house.
Not aunt.
And I would even throw my cousin in the mix. In the
not
same house.
It's
a reality
aunt.
Show.
It's your aunt.
No, it's my aunt.
It's not your
same,
aunt.
Same house, reality show. It
all
would
right,
be
well,
crazy.
I don't think we're there yet, so why don't we start with the baby steps and give them a podcast, and you were just like, no. Like, you couldn't have dismissed it any quicker.
Well, I don't think it would be as good. Like, I'm not going to set myself up to fail. I'll just put it this way. If you had those four in the same house, like what you saw on the Chappelle show when they did the Real World,
mm-hmm.
Like I slept with Katie too, like that, I'm telling you right now, it would be that kind of, that level of craziness.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think the world is ready for all of that.
But they couldn't handle it.
But I see what Rothenberg did. Rothenberg threw out a feeler. You didn't bite on it, so he kind of proceeded with caution and just, you know, he didn't tell you about it.
It's not that he didn't bite on it. He dismissed it. It's not like he was like, you know, it's a great idea, but he's like, didn't even respond. I was like, all right, clearly podcast world is something that he's not interested in. But I'm inviting you onto the podcast. I don't know why that's not something you would want to do. We'll zoom you right in. We'll get you looking beautiful. There's a green screen involved with this. Yeah. I mean, this is serious stuff.
That's a big time production. That's a big time production. I just understand, like, you have all these means to, like, you have someone paying for your hockey show. Now you get someone like running your YouTube channel. I mean, I don't know how, you know, why it would make sense to kind of incorporate that into our show. Like, maybe DCR should have its own YouTube channel so people could see us while we're doing the show.
But that shouldn't be up to Rothenberg to do, right?
ESPN.
Oh, he's got the means. Well, he's got the... No, come on. Come on now. I mean, you're asking a ridiculous question.
What do you mean, come on, come on now? That's not something that ESPN should take a stranglehold with?
I think you need to lower your expectations.
Wow. So, Ricky, let me ask you this. Which one bothers you more, the fact that you weren't consulted and included on the weekend hockey show?
Oh, it's got
or that you're not a part of the podcast?
If it's not the hockey show, then we have real problems.
Well, here's the thing, though, Dave. Like, he's on the show with you every single day. So it's just like, this is something that you're doing personally, and to not kind of rope him in on it, I'm just saying I could see a world in which he would feel more of a way about you not including him on Untucked than the hockey show. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, we got
a
double, triple.
So there's more developments to this.
Oh my goodness!
So I decided to actually click on the tweet there that led us to this discovery, and it's a nice little promo for this Rothy podcast, right? It's nothing but drops from these airwaves, from this show, from this program.
So who's producing this, John? Is that what's happening right now?
Listen to this.
Oh, God. I'm a big star, you know. I have so much knowledge.
Just realize now, I'll be watching you all the time.
I want a championship!
I used to write letters all the time to the Giants.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
You don't respect me? I'm crazy!
He's terrible!
Would you go to therapy with me?
Sounds like intellectual property is being stolen here.
You're all bad guys.
Who's producing the show? Who's producing your show? Skrillex? What kind of music are we doing right now?
If I do well with the podcast, if attention is drawn to that, isn't that only good for our show of DCR?
As long as you're pushing to the show, are you pushing to the show?
No, he's not pushing to the show. He's pushing to his podcast.
You want me to? I didn't bring this up. I didn't say anything. In fact, I wasn't going to because I thought it might be disrespectful to you guys, but forget about that. All bets are off now.
You know who you are? I'll tell you exactly who you are. You're the guy that gets caught by his wife on his cell phone having like a text message exchange with someone and not to her. And then, we didn't do anything. It was nothing physical, but you've had this whole emotional relationship going on right now. Like, you got this whole secret life going on that you don't even tell us
secret
about.
Life? Oh, I'm doing... You are. And the worst thing about you... I mean, you really are the depths of humanity. The worst thing about it is, if I would have said to you, hey, Rick, do you want any involvement in the podcast which I'm launching? You would have said, absolutely not. If you would have been asked, do you want a hockey show? Do you want to be involved in a Rothenberg's hockey show? Absolutely not. You know what you are? You're the 14-year-old girl in junior high. You only want to be asked to go to the party. That's all. Hey, Katie, would you go to the party? No. I don't want to go to the party. But if you're not asked, now this is what happens. You are one step away from like a supervillain. That's what you are, my friend.
Yeah, but you saw me as a woman. I'm smoking hot. They'd ask me.
You are. You're on a
they would ask me.
You're not as hot as I am as a woman, but you are a very lovely looking woman.
No, I don't want to be asked to do it. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. I don't want to be asked to do it. I don't need more work. I'm coaching 15 different teams. I don't need more work. Just like I'm going to do a podcast with a YouTube channel.
So you just want a heads up. You want
also, Canty and I can get behind it. I mean, it's a perfect time to bring it up. I mean, it's good. Anything that you do that's good is good for us. Like, the better your podcast is, the better your YouTube channel is, the better our radio show will be.
But
you want to keep
that.
It as a dirty little secret.
It's not a dirty little secret.
Well, then why keep it a secret
maybe
then?
We discussed today. Honestly, and this is sincere, I didn't want for you guys to be forced to talk about it. I didn't. And I thought, you know what? If you want to talk about it, we will. And if you don't, we won't. So I didn't want to be the guy that brought it to your attention on the air and took time away from our show. That was my honest, true belief.
Well, Rothenberg, I want to tell you this. I believe you're telling the truth, and I would be honored to be a guest on your new podcast, Untucked.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is a friend, and this is a teammate. And DiPietro, you and I'd love to have you on, Chris. You claim, right? Locker room and the importance of that, and you're a locker room guy. Well, when does that start? Was that only when you were playing in the NHL, or is that something that you bring to the table now as a radio show co-host? You tell me. You tell us. The world is listening at this moment.
Well, there's no secrets in a locker room. Like, if I'm planning something... Like, it's going to be, I'm going to plan it for my teammates. I'm not going to plan something for myself, first of all. Like, everyone's going to be included. Like, I'm not going to, like, all of a sudden now I show up at this unbelievable party, and the guy's like, well, hey, I mean, you didn't want to invite us to the party? No, I didn't think you guys wanted to be bothered.
I just invited you to the party.
And now, eventually, because we just found out.
No, I was
going to
ask you to come
us.
On. Of course I was going
to
ask you to come on.
Hey, do you
like
want to
do a party?
Do you want to do a podcast with your mom? Oh, yeah, please. That's exactly what
you're
I want to do.
You're the one that spent 15 minutes one day during the pandemic telling us, you know what would be an unbelievable reality show is if you get my grandmother and my mother. Well, you know what? We're not at the point where we have the means to put together a full television production crew. But the thought was, let's start out with a podcast of these people. We'll turn their mics on. We'll let them talk. I mentioned it, and you could not have been less interested.
Did I mention at any point during this 15-minute segment talking about, you know, Mickey Rourke and her mom and everything else, my grandmother, that I wanted to be in the same house during the reality show?
I didn't ask you to be on it.
Oh, so the podcast was just going to be my mother and my grandmother?
Yeah.
And my aunt.
Yeah, that's right. Not your aunt. She's your aunt.
She's my, it's my
not
mom and
Britain.
My aunt.
Not your aunt.
Ask Dave Gettleman how he says aunt.
I don't care how Dave Gettleman says aunt. I
that's
can't
Trader
even believe.
Dave. Don't
I
be disrespectful.
Can't even believe. I can't. I should know better. I should know that. If I would have mentioned it, you know what I would have gotten, Chris? How dare you do a podcast? How dare you take away from our show and do a podcast? There's no winning with you. You're impossible.
I'm sitting here spending time writing songs for the show, and you're off gallivanting doing another podcast in a YouTube channel.
Oh, boy.
You are one you big guys. Baby. You really are. I'm
can
a
we,
baby.
Can we,
you're
can we
a baby.
Hear from
Derek Rose, or is that not okay?
I don't know. Why don't you save it for your podcast?
Maybe I will. You know what? Maybe I will.
I'm sure you'll play the sound on your podcast whenever you record that.
There's such disdain. Your podcast. You're so bothered by it. Everything bothers you. You really are the biggest baby I've ever met. Here's Derek Rose on winning 12 of 13.
You know, it's super cool, man. Just to be on a winning team, it could have been a lot different. As long as the record, we got more wins than loses, I'm cool with it. And especially with the record that you put out, it's showing that we're doing something quite unique here.
There's something really fun and really special and really unique going on right now with the Knicks. And there's no two ways about it. And I think not only has New York taken notice, guys, but the entire NBA has taken notice of what's going on with these Knicks right now.
How could you not? They're the hottest team in basketball right now. And they've won 12 of the last 13. You know what's fun? Is winning.
Yep.
Is winning. And especially, like, and on top of the fact that you, I mean, when you love showing up to the locker room because you enjoy your teammates, like how important that is. I mean, you can see it on the sideline. I mean, you can see it on the sidelines how they react to each other. Like, this team is having a blast right now. And they show up. I mean, guys, everyone's contributing. And when they need, I mean, last night was a good example. When they needed someone to step up, last night it was Derrick Rose that stepped up. Julius Randle, you know, hits a big three. Like, they have, and I'm telling you, you don't normally see this. Like, you don't normally during the course of a season, like, see a team in, like, slowly improve the way the Knicks have improved. It's like they just keep getting better and better. It's like, oh, you know, this has been fun, but this can't continue.
And it just keeps continuing. It's
rolling.
A great point. I really cannot believe with 7 games left in the season that we are sitting here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
When I get new reads moving forward and things like that, I'll certainly bring them to your attention.
Yeah, shoot me a text. Just let me know.
Yeah.
I like to keep track of you. I mean, you got a lot on your plate now. You don't sleep. You got 2 new puppies. You got, I mean, a Saturday show. You got the hockey show.
That's
you
right.
Now got a whole podcast network.
I don't know where the podcast network comes from, but okay. Full network.
Well, that's the next step. I mean, that would be the next step, right?
Is well, wouldn't that be off. Nice?
Well, for you.
Well, it wouldn't be. If I could produce a full network and make money off of it, you wouldn't like that for me?
You can't come up with a hotter take than the Knicks are fun to watch, and yet you're going to launch a whole new podcast.
Well, it's amazing I even have this job, huh? The Knicks are great. I love watching this team. I don't understand why that was a bad thing to say. You call
it's
your
red
aunt,
hot.
Your aunt,
it's a red hot take.
Fun of?
It's a red hot take. That right there is a take that me and Canty, I mean, you could just, I mean, it opens so many doors.
All right. The Knicks are great. I love watching this team. I'm not trying to open doors. I'm not a doorman. I'm not trying to open doors. I'm just saying the Knicks are good. They're fun to watch. I made a statement. All right. That's fine. Everything you say is under the microscope now.
Wow.
I'm going to be like a biologist. Like microbes. Everything you say is going to be under the microscope now from now on. Every single thing. You better watch your words, my friend. You better watch them. Max Kellerman has some words. He said them on First Take yesterday about Julius Randle and being in the MVP race.
Julius Randle
is a top five MVP candidate.
Absolutely.
And I cannot remember even a single other instance in the history of the NBA mm-hmm. of a guy drafted up high.
Doing more with less.
Looked like he was what he was after 5-6 years in the league right. and then doing this.
That's
it's unbelievable.
Right.
I love Stephen A. like singing, doing more with less.
How about this? Here's the thing, though. I mean, and Max is a fraud, too, because he's not even a Knicks fan. He quit on the Knicks, now he's a Lakers fan.
That is disgraceful, because he was a Knicks fan.
Yeah, but what takes you so long to get to the party? I mean, how long have we been talking about this?
Like that kind of party?
It just dawned on him now that Julius Randle is an MVP candidate?
I feel like we've had this discussion for months, no?
Yeah, months. Months. Tom Thibodeau being coach of the year. Julius Randle's definitely 100%. If he doesn't win most improved player, there's something wrong with who's voting.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win that, and he should get MVP votes. There's not even a question about it.
Yeah,
What he's turned himself into?
Who's that?
What Randle. Julius Randle has turned himself into from what he was, especially last year to now, night and day. It's not even the same player.
No, I mean, it's an all-NBA performer. Like, he's already been voted to the All-Star team, but, I mean, everybody is expecting that he's going to be one of the three all-NBA teams at the end of this season. Like, he deserves that. When you see what he means to this team and you see the turnaround the Knicks have had, I mean, you got to give him his flowers while he's here. Give him credit where credit is due. Like, the guy is playing on that level. Like, every night he comes up with a shot, and you're like, how the hell did he make that shot? Like, in the second quarter yesterday, yep. he hits that three-pointer from the corner. Like, how the hell is he making that shot as the shot clock is winding down? That's not a shot that players should make, and yet Julius Randle finds a way to do that on a nightly basis. Like, this guy has really, really turned it around, man. Just his commitment to being able to improve the deficiencies of his game, how Tom Thibodeau has talked about improving as a three-point shooter, like, the work that he's put in. And now seeing the results of that, like, yeah, absolutely. He should be in the MVP conversation. He's going to be most likely the most improved player and certainly an all-NBA performer. Like, this guy, you can't overstate how important he is to this team. You can't.
How do you guys, if you had a vote, would you go with the guy that, in fact, is the most important to his team? Or would you guys go with the guy that just puts up the most wild stats for a given year?
I would go by most valuable.
Most valuable.
Yeah, I think I would go with most valuable too, but you also have to add context to it. Like, you have to look at the improvement that the team has made too. You know what I mean?
So this is as of April 28th on Bovada. It's Jokic's, I mean, it's not even close. He's going to win. He's minus 500. Embiid is plus 400. Curry is plus 1250. Do you care to guess where Julius Randle checks in on this list?
See, I don't agree with that. I mean, Steph's had a great season, but I mean, look where Steph's team is at.
Yeah, but he doesn't have great odds. I mean, he's the third favorite, but he's plus 1250.
But he's still the third favorite. I mean, he's still the third favorite.
Do you care to guess where Randle is? I have the top. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, 10.
Here's the thing, though. See, this is why, again, I think it's how they define this award is ridiculous.
I think it's totally to your own interpretation, right? Is it the best guy? Is it the best stats? Is it the guy that means the most to his team? Whatever the voter wants it to be is what it can be.
But it seems like every year the guy who gets it is the most outstanding season for one of the best teams in the league.
That's correct. So, again, I'll ask you, do you care to take a stab at where Julius Randle is on this list?
Julius Randle is... You didn't ask me where he should be. Julius Randle is 10th on the list.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm going to say 13th.
He's not on the list.
That's ridiculous. That's the whole problem with this. There should be two awards then. It should be most valuable and most outstanding. Because Chris Paul should be ahead of Steph Curry.
Chris Paul is plus 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron is above him at plus 6,600. Doncic is plus 5,500. Harden, that really didn't pan out well. He's plus 3,300. Lillard plus 3,300. Giannis plus 2,500. Steph plus 1,250. Embiid plus 400. And Jokic, like we mentioned, the prohibitive favorite at minus 500.
Julius Randle has missed only one game because of the quad. He leads his team in every single category.
Yep.
Minutes, points, rebounds, assists. What is this team without him?
They are not they are not even a play-in kind of a team.
No.
No. I mean, they're one of the bottom third teams in the league.
Could you argue that they're the worst team in the NBA without him?
I don't know.
That's
just how hard they play.
You look at some of those bottom feeders,
Dave. Yeah, they do play hard. But they're a 20-win team without him. 22-win team with. I mean, they're horrendous without him.
I would probably take him. I mean, if the number was 20, the number was 22.5, right before the season started.
Yeah.
With no Julius Randle, I would take the under. I would probably have taken.
See,
the
I might take the over just because they play so hard. Every
they do,
night, but not far. Not certainly no. Not fourth seed over.
Yeah, but they're not Detroit and they're not Houston.
No, Houston is just gross. Well, yeah. Let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. Ron in Baltimore. Good morning, Ron. You're on 98.7.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
We're doing.
We're doing
great.
Good, Ron. What's up?
I just want to thank Tom Thibodeau for understanding me as a person. I've been streaking more this season. And this is the most I've been streaking, Dave, since when I called you in 2012 every night. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I want to just talk about Derrick Rose really quick. You know, Randall's getting all the flowers and he deserves it. He's incredible. He's amazing. Derrick Rose, Dave, I don't remember him being this good a shooter. And I know he's changed his game a little bit. He's not the guy around the rim that just dunks the ball. And I don't need him to do that, but he is under control. I didn't know he could shoot threes. I'll be honest, I didn't see him in Minnesota. I was watching the Knicks. I didn't watch his games with the Timberwolves, but the guy's been unreal. I mean, we don't lose games where Derrick Rose plays. I think we're 21-9. So I'm proud of him, Dave. And I'll just my last comment with Tibbs is this: in any playoff series, I'm going down with Tibbs. If we lose, we lose. But he's the guy I want as the coach of this team. And in the playoff huddles, Dave, we will have a good chance to win with this coach anytime we lace him up. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, Ron. I couldn't agree more. I mean, Thibodeau is the exact right coach for this team. It only pains me a little bit that it took them so long to realize it and to bring him in. But, I mean, in your wildest dreams, if I would have told you, Chris, 5 months ago that the Knicks would be, what are they now, 9 games over?
Mm-hmm.
And in the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, would you like to put money on that? You probably would have put a whole heck of a lot of money on that. No one, even the most optimistic Knicks fan in the world, thought this was going to come down the pike.
No, if you said the Knicks were going to have this kind of season, Dave, I would have asked you what you're smoking. Like that, I would have been truly concerned. I would think that there needs to be an intervention because there's no way that you could have that kind of swing, that kind of turnaround in year one of a new regime's tenure. I mean, not only do you have a new head coach, but you have a completely brand new front office. And so you were thinking that it was going to take some time in terms of them to be able to get on the same page and figure out how to develop their program, but it really hasn't. It really hasn't. I mean, this team had to figure it out, and they gave themselves an opportunity to do that in the first half, and they were losing some really close ball games. They were poor with late game execution, but as the season has gone on, they've progressively gotten better at that aspect of it. They've become a better shooting team, and they've been able to maintain their intensity on the defensive end. Like, this has been one of the most consistent teams in terms of effort in the entire NBA, and you got to attribute that to the head coach and the players buying into what he's selling. So, yeah, this is a team that all Knicks fans can be proud of, and this is a team that nobody wants to play once we get to the postseason.
Mm. Let's hear from Julius Randle. Do you belong in the MVP conversation?
For sure. I'm not going to shy away from it. But for me, it's about getting better from game to game, improving as a player. You know, I'm not focused on it. You know, the praise obviously is great and everything. I'm not focused on it. But for me, I'm not worried about it. It's going to keep getting better. Keep leading the team from game to game because, you know, like I said before, our team, I feel like we can compete against anybody. That's what it's about.
I would almost go as far as saying this. Is there a player in the NBA that means more to his team and their success than Julius Randle?
Well, I think you're talking about, I mean, at the moment, with what this Knicks team is now, I mean, you're talking about the 4 seed in the East and what they would be without him. I mean, the other teams were Embiid, Jokic. I mean, those were...
You take Embiid off that team, that's a playoff team, though.
No, yeah. That's what I mean, though. Those are teams that are trying to win a championship.
Right. Of course,
that's the level
they're
at.
You take LeBron, you take Jokic, you take Embiid off their teams, they have no chance at a championship. But I'm talking about just the success in the regular season. Do you think the Knicks have any chance to be a postseason team if you take Randle off the team?
No.
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 The Lakers will still be a postseason team. You have a healthy Anthony Davis and all the talent that they have. The Nuggets still would. Look at Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell hasn't played in weeks, and all they do is win.
Oh, and you got no Murray in Denver, too.
Right, and all they do is win.
They lost to the Lakers last night. But
well,
I get what you're saying. But you're talking about different situations, though. I mean, those teams, again, I mean, the Lakers are the defending champs. I mean, you're talking about teams that are they're not happy just making the playoffs. They're teams that are trying to, you know, compete and win a championship.
I get it's a different animal, but what Randall has done is it's shocking. It's mind-boggling.
I'm agreeing with you.
What it was last year.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm agreeing with you. Like, those teams have way more talent than the Knicks have. Like, what Thibs has been able to get out of this team. Like, when, like, if you just looked at this team on paper, you'd be like, yeah, I mean, they'll be a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe if they're lucky, you know, if things fall right, they'll get into that play-in tournament, and because they play so hard, you know, they'll win, you know, one or two of those games and end up in the actual playoffs.
Yeah.
They're the fourth seed right now. They won 12 of the last 13 games.
Yeah, it really is. Anthony in Staten Island. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. To sit here and do the Knicks, you know, obviously, what, 3-4 best, you know, 3-point shooting team defensively. We know what they've done. I was telling the screener, I said, you know, they have the same record as the Lakers at this point. And, you know, obviously, I know the injuries and everything, but no one could have ever even fathomed that that would be possible. Lowest payroll in the league. You know, and you know, Tibbs changed my whole perspective on coaching, because I was always in the camp of, like, all right, whatever, the coach can only do so much. But what he's done is incredible. I mean, honestly, just incredible. So, you know, it's just a great place to be right now. We've suffered long enough, and it's nice to finally be here. And that's it. I mean, and hopefully the Yankees could come in tonight and take care of business against the Astros. First time they're in town since the whole cheating scandal. So that's another thing to look forward to. Have a good day,
we have
guys.
Our own cheating scandal going on right now, Tony. But nice if you could have banged a trash can and let us know that you're starting your own podcast network.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's now a full blown.
It's not going to go away, Dave. He's not going to let it go.
You really are amazing.
What, I look like Elsa? I'm not letting anything go.
I got to be honest. I don't remember being told that you were going to take the head hockey coaching job at Portlage. I don't think I was told about that. That has nothing to do with.
I mean, you're talking about.
I mean, it's your private life. This is my private life. It's not radio. I'm doing something completely away from what we do together as a unit.
Yeah, but it's still in front of a microphone.
And you're using
I don't do a
pregame speech with electronic disco music and drops from my radio show.
Well, maybe
to
you
get
should.
The guys fired up.
Maybe you should. Maybe that was missing with the team.
Hey, you know who else needs credit too? And we're sitting here waxing poetic about, you know, Thibs. He deserves it. Randall, he deserves it. But give
Leon Rose.
Yeah, give him credit too for the pieces that he put in place here. I mean, trade for Derrick Rose. I mean, how many people thought when they traded for Derrick Rose that he was going to be this kind
Nobody.
Of player?
Zero.
Not one person.
Nobody. Because you remember what he was last time, and he was not a great player, and he was kind of mismatched in Detroit, and he came here, and he's been phenomenal. All right, little boost of caffeine here at 5:52 in the morning. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning. Excited. Knicks are in fourth position. They're going to lock it up. When the road game started, I tell, win the first two games, then I'll evaluate the next four games. So you win the first two games. Now, the big time showdown with all the four teams. Denver Nuggets lost last night. Told me without LeBron James, I thought Denver was basically with the center that they have, the weekended, I thought they are the best suitable team that can upset Lakers. But yesterday losing without LeBron James, take a big hit out of it, and I have to put. But when LeBron James came back on Friday night, and after the game, he said that I will not be 100%. He is basically skipping out. If he loses, he is basically giving an excuse already, my friend. LeBron James is giving an excuse that if he doesn't win an NBA
Omar,
title,
Omar,
about the Knicks.
Oh my goodness.
MVP candidate.
He can't.
MVP candidate Julius Randle. I don't think he is. Top five, yes, maybe.
Going.
I will say number one, Doncic. Number two, Embiid. Number three, I will say. I will not say number three as Steph Curry because of his the team where it stands. I will rather have somebody else at number three.
Omar, I can't believe it. He actually, I'm sitting here talking to him. He cannot hear me.
How do you not believe that? That's the first time that's happened.
Well, I think the last time the phones weren't working properly. Remember, so nobody could hear us when we were talking. But like, I'm talking to him and he has no comprehension that that is taking place. Why is he focused and why does he care about LeBron James and the Lakers? The Knicks have won 12 of 13. That should be his focus. Not what LeBron is doing or not doing. LeBron playing, Jokic playing. Who cares about that? Well, focus on the Knicks.
Well, Dave, those are the guys that are getting attention by the national media. And Knicks fans feel slighted. And I'm not going to say that they don't have a legitimate gripe just because the Knicks should be a bigger storyline than they are. You know, when you talk about New York sports, it's usually magnified. But I feel like at this point, you know, maybe not in NBA circles, but in terms of national media and the coverage that the team is getting, they're a little bit under the radar. They really are. But this is a really good basketball team, and they're hard to play against. And I think the Memphis Grizzlies found that out the hard way last night. I mean, you saw how frustrated that team was at the end of it. Like, they felt like, okay, we usually can find ourselves on the winning side of some of these plays down the stretch in crunch time, but the Knicks were having none of that. That wasn't happening. I mean, to the point where John Morant gets tossed and the head coach gets tossed. So, I mean, this is a different team. This really is. And it's fun to watch them play basketball. It's fun to see how it's going to turn out. Just based on what they do, how hardworking they are, like, it's good to see them be able to have some success. I'm not even a Knicks fan. I'm a Lakers fan. But yeah, I can admit that this Knicks team is fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how Omar goes from, I mean, the call screen says he was the first on the ship, which is a lie. I was the first one on the ship. And then
you
we
were
brought
not
you on
the
board.
First one on the ship. You pushed me onto the ship as like a test dummy.
I was, wow. I was, what do you mean? In order for me to drag you onto the ship,
I think he was
pulling
you onto
the ship.
He didn't push you on it. He was pulling you onto the ship.
I said, I don't want this play-in nonsense. And you were like, well, hold on a minute. Don't get too excited. I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship. I was on the ship.
Here's what happened, though. No, I was on the ship with Omar. We dragged you on the ship. And then as we're cruising along nicely, you decided to start, you know, fiddling around with the money. And we almost had to throw you off the ship.
What money did I fiddle with?
Oh, this is a playoff team. I mean, no, relax.
Oh, relax. Look at it. Look at where we are. I'm like Nostradamus. I was right. They're the fourth seed. This is a playoff team. Why? Instead of saying I started fiddling with the money, which is a phrase I've never heard before, why not give me credit for the fact that I was right?
Just like you were right about the loaded AFC, Dave.
That's right. I mean, all you do is beat up the ridiculous things I say and the bad takes I have. How about give me the credit that I deserve when I'm right?
Because you don't even know. At that moment, you're just throwing it out there.
Oh, my God.
And it just so happens that it turned out to be right. In the moment, you're like, it's just verbal diarrhea. AFC is loaded.
I thought the AFC was loaded. Even I didn't realize it was that loaded, but I thought
they
were going to be loaded.
At the time of the take, you mentioned three teams. And we're like, yeah, this is loaded? And you're like, yeah, it's loaded. It turns out you were right, because it was loaded. But when you said it, you had no idea.
It pains you. The greatness that I portray on this show pains you.
No, it really doesn't. I like when you're great. I want you to be great. I want you to focus on this show.
I'm focused on this show.
Well, I don't know how that's possible with what you got
going on. Oh, my God. All right, 800-919-3776. I mean, we're you know what was the movie with Ted Danson? And Steve Guttenberg, three men and a baby. That's what it is. It's three men, or really, it's two men and a baby. Chris, you and I are the men on the show, and Rick, you will play the role of the baby.
If I was in studio right now, I would Tom Wilson you.
Wow.
I would pretend you were Artemi Panarin, and I would Tom
that's
Wilson
not,
you.
That's
right.
Not nice. And that's
trash
and that's
can. Human trash can.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.